Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Another quick rant of truth with me, Tyson Harley. How are you doing? Two different points I want to make now. One is a likely association with a total miscount, but I can't quite get to the bottom of whether it's definite or whether it's all but implied and therefore it's true. And then also really early signs of the problems that we're seeing, even though they're trying to say that we're not seeing them. Talking about signs over a year ago, straight up and plainly, to people who should have known better, and now the population is suffering, even the population suffering who basically had a 0% chance of any ill effects of the original problem for which a solution was made. So this is off of my man's website, the guy who a certain Senator Warren had famously said was on the list of disinformation, when it is quite the contrary. I've discussed him before. Let's see. It's not Pepsi-Cola. It's not Coca-Cola. It's Dr. Blank-Cola. And so there he talks about the fact that recently, statements by the current idiot of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and really it's just the chief salesman and PR person for Big Pharma, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, or Walensky, however you say it, July 16th, 2021. Over 97% of people who are entering the hospital right now are unvaccinated. Hey, dipshit, how can that be if basically, it never touched anybody in the prime of their life, the original thing? How could it be 16 months later that 97% of people who are entering the hospital are unvaccinated? Either it means not many are entering, but more likely you're just making garbage up. And then a few weeks later, she inadvertently revealed how the CDC came by that statistic. They took hospitalization mortality rate from January through to June 2021 to come to this conclusion. However, during this time frame, most of the people in the U.S. were not vaccinated. So the majority of people in the hospital or who had died would not have received the vaccine. So to act as though in July, like, see, it's your fault, you people who still haven't followed our rules, haven't followed our, remember, because they're not laws, okay? It is only through the fascist idea of getting corporations to rule on your behalf that people have been coerced to do this in any real sense. It's not a law. The legislatures didn't pass it, for the most part, right? Not in the U.S. So first she talks about a timeline where most people weren't vaccinated to give the indirect impression that in July that almost everybody who was in the hospital was unvaccinated. Well, again, garbage, because in reality we know the real videos show that the hospitals were empty. And now worse, we have the potential problem of, well, which hospitals are, quote, are understaffed, and therefore they're, quote, overwhelmed. So it's not true physical capacity or true total capacity of the hospital if they had total capacity. It's them artificially decreasing their capacity by forcing health choices upon their employees, and then therefore not having as many employees. But the second problem here is the one where I say, I can't tell for sure if it's absolutely proven because so much is hidden these days. And in fact, there's a recent story, you might have seen it, where one of the vaccine trial companies or something wants 55 years to release all of the information on the trials, like it's the JFK assassination or something. Oh, there are big state secrets. Okay, I said it before. The Chinese guy who is something Wei Wei, who was a political dissident, a few scales of truth back, a few quick rants of truth back. He says, yeah, government should be able to have secrets, but not to hide dirty games. And what could be less about true state secrets like agents' names and their missions and their aliases? And what could be more about public, in the public interest information, than trial data? And they absolutely, with a straight face, said, yeah, we're going to need 55 years to release that. What do you think? So anyway, and this is why, again, it's hard to tell what they mean at a given time. It turns out that in at least a study and in other places, you can see that the CDC does not call somebody vaccinated until they've had a vaccination at least 14 days ago. And so you can understand the problem. It's like there's some validity under the idea of, well, so you're saying that the body takes a while to really see that little protein that you made it create. And I don't know that 14 days is pretty long for that, but that's where they get it from. But unfortunately, because they've been such liars with data since this whole thing started, does that not mean that this overlaps too, and that includes any effects from the vaccine? We're saying it's not an effect from the vaccine because, after all, 2 + 2 = 5, and the person has not been vaccinated for 14 days, and so it's not an effect from the vaccine. No, the effect from vaccine is on a different timeline. It can be nearly immediately. So I am not absolutely sure whether or not that's true, but the concern is there, right? They count anyone as unvaccinated if they haven't gone through a full 14 days post-injection. So does that mean they don't count, as a matter of course, those who have died within the 14 days of injection as a vaccinated death? Worse, does that mean that the death actually then counts as an unvaccinated death for their propaganda numbers? Does it artificially inflate the unvaccinated death toll? Now, I see people making that link. I just haven't quite made the link for sure myself. I'm telling you, it's a possibility that they're screwing that data around just the way they screwed around other data. My previous videos from over a year ago, where you look at the guidelines and say, oh, great, yeah, so just a cough can be a, quote, COVID case. No test. And, well, what's the most likely thing? And are you in a hot spot? Well, any big city has enough people you could call it a, quote, hot spot. And if you're doing enough testing, especially considering how approximate the testing was and how they they put the cycle thresholds into overdrive. So remember, even a cough could be a COVID-19 quote case. So we know they've really screwed around with the data and the categories of the data, and they've been dishonest in more than one way. But I haven't quite found the smoking gun where they say, yes, we do not call a death that happened right after the vaccination of some strange effect a vaccinated death. And in fact, we call it a death of an unvaccinated person. So you can see the problem is that the majority of deaths that are related to the really adverse effects that some people have from these jabs are within the first 2 weeks. So the second part of this is talking about the things that they knew perfectly damn well are the effects, and what they still rolled out anyway. So I'm going to include some of these and talk about some of these. So if you've been paying any attention at all to the side effects, you know blood clotting is a major problem, and it's worse among young people, and worse yet among young males. And I said the likely connection to that is that the mRNA says body, find a factory, find a cell, turn the cell into a factory for this protein. We're going to overcreate spike protein, or we're going to create spike protein, but no testing was done to know what the people on the far end of the bell curve, how many they might create. Would they create too many? And so we have potentially spike proteins being overmade in some percentage of the population. And if they don't know how overly produced they are, they have no idea of how bad the side effect can be. We really did beta test on the entire population. Unfortunately, that's really what happened, because statistically they didn't go through all their data. So we know, if you kept up with that, you know the blood clotting's one thing. And to me, a lot of these things are related. So let's talk about a slide. And this article says it was slide 16 in an October 22nd, 2020 presentation to the FDA. So 13 months ago today, as I record this, by the director of biostatics and epidemiology on some of the expected effects. Okay, again, not side effects, effects. These are big effects. You can't call them side effects. Okay, so here we are. Death, convulsion, stroke. We've seen all those. If you open your eyes and go watch some of the videos, there are nurses who suddenly can't talk. 28-year-old nurses. There are other 27 and 28 nurses who straight up died. Convulsions. Acute myocardial infarction. That's heart attack. Guess what? Heart attack can be from blood clots or lack of blood to the heart. Well, we've got blood clots because we have spike proteins running all over the place. Multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children. Well, guess what? The signature proteins that it tells the body to create, and that some bodies, and probably more likely young, healthy bodies, can create at a greater pace are the spike proteins. The spike proteins are a major irritant. They were the major irritant of the original disease. And yet that's the one we decide to make as the protein to tell the body to create so that your body sees it. Is there some reason they couldn't have found a more stable part of the coronavirus to make the signature protein area that the body recognizes? If it was stable and not an irritant, then maybe the body sees this stable area among many coronaviruses, and you have greater immunity from the vaccine instead of creating the protein being the spike protein, which is a major irritant. Guess what happens with irritants? They cause inflammation. What is this again? Multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children, also known as MISC. Vaccine-enhanced disease. So that's another one. Great, you got a disease, but because you have a vaccine, it's enhanced somehow. Awesome. Myocarditis and pericarditis. This is swelling of the heart or swelling of the membrane around the heart. Again, kind of tied to the irritation, the inflammation, and possibly also the blood clot idea. Autoimmune disease, an abnormal immune response to a functioning body part, right? And so what I just tell you, some people might overproduce this because they beta tested it on the population and haven't looked to go, yeah, all they did was say, look, we did get an immune response. But they didn't do enough of a trial to go, well, that's great, but you just told the body to create a bunch of protein and a protein that is an irritant. And so what can happen then is if your body overcreates something, that can be the reason for the autoimmune disease. Thrombocytopenia. That one's a little odd. I'm not quite getting it. Is lack of platelets. Platelets is what clots things. So how are we getting blood clots? That's a little confused. Kawasaki disease, which is a little confusing. I'm not going to go through that. I know usually it's your tongue turning very red, but it can be other things too. Anaphylaxis, like anaphylactic shock, and Guillain-Barré syndrome. I'm not sure if that's how you say that. But it is a nerve disorder. And you see now women who can't talk. You know, women who are embarrassed to continue to be a nurse because they can't talk. Rapid onset muscle weakness caused by the immune system damaging the peripheral nervous system. Okay, so that's again another autoimmune disease. So where do these spike proteins go? Is it possible that they go throughout the body? Yes, it's possible because they found them throughout the body. So is it any possible way it could get towards where some of these, you know, it's kind of like the demyelinization of the sheath, of the sheath of the nervous system, and therefore you get the things like the tick disease and other nerve diseases. So all of these were a part of the October 22nd, 2020 presentation to the FDA. And yet, just days before, as the CDC announced the benefit of the shot outweighing the risk, they also said there was a likely association between the shots and myocarditis in otherwise healthy young people. So, and as of just June 2021, CNN reported the CDC had received 1,226 preliminary reports of children with myocarditis or pericarditis through VAERS. So let me repeat then. They did a real Orwellian speak, because they both said there is a likely association between the shots and myocarditis in otherwise healthy young people, and still said the benefits outweigh the risk. See, they're rewriting history, because Kim and I have discussed, I've discussed it heavily, that all the early data said the young people did not get affected. The original disease was overwhelmingly a disease of the elderly. Not that the young couldn't get it, it's communicable, but that the young's immune system obliterated it so much that we had a mass number of people who supposedly had COVID but no symptoms. Now, outside of the fact that they were overly sensitive tests, if it at least caught the dead nucleotides, it means they never even so much got symptoms, and their immune system smashed this disease. Everything we saw said anybody even at 50 and somewhat healthy, or not having comorbidities or coexisting health conditions that were pretty major, flew through this. No pun intended. Outside of certainly not having hospitalizations in any kind of numbers, the early big Italy scare, upon further look, was all about the elderly. Oh my gosh, they're dying left and right. A, they're not. Something else was going on. But some of them were, for sure. It was just skewed. It was people dying with COVID, not of COVID. It was people dying of bad protocol and freaking out. It was, but anyway, even that, as they look back upon it, it was a death of a lot of elderly people. Okay, so the regular and initial disease did not affect the young, period. And here we are, not even a year later, the CDC rewriting history and expecting you to believe, because they're saying it with a straight face, that both the benefits of the shot outweigh the risk, when there are no benefits if it's supposed to address a risk that's not there of the original disease for young people. Okay. Yet, as they say, the benefits of the shot outweigh the risk. What benefits? There was no risk, so how can you have benefits for young people? At the same time, they said the benefits, of which there can be basically none. What's it going to make the person grow taller? Okay, because the original disease did not affect young people in any way, shape, or form. The benefits of the shot outweigh the risk. At the same time they're saying that, they're also saying the risk is a likely association. Quote, a likely association between the shots and freaking heart swelling and heart membrane swelling in otherwise healthy young people. Guys, it can't get any more of a farce parody than this. We are literally submitting our children to shots that can make their hearts swell and make their heart membranes swell when they had no risk to begin with of the original disease. There are 28-year-olds dying suddenly from heart attacks or of myocarditis or blood clots. I say again, in October 22nd of 2020, the presentation to the FDA by the Director of Biostatics and Epidemiology were that the expected effects were death, convulsions, stroke, acute myocardial infarction, that's heart attack, multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children when there was no risk in the original disease to children. I tell you, spike proteins are a major irritant. That's what the vaccine is telling the body to create, some Frankenstein version of the biggest irritant from the original disease instead of finding some fairly harmless part of the disease that was still a signature piece and using it. And as a major irritant and one of the biggest problems in the original disease, we tell the body to create it without there being any kind of logic as to when to stop. So who knows when it stops. And that causes major inflammation. And so we have a multi-system inflammatory syndrome. But God forbid they try to piece together anything like that, like ICANN, vaccine-enhanced disease, myocarditis and pericarditis, that is inflammation of the heart and its what I said before, membrane around it. Autoimmune disease, where the body is attacking itself. Huh, could it just be that it's attacking where the spike proteins are, but the spike proteins have gone to any number of tissues? Yes, it could. Thrombocytopenia, lack of platelets. Doesn't sound like a problem. Kawasaki disease, anaphylaxis, as in extreme allergic reaction. And Guillain-Barre, I'm probably saying that wrong. A rapid onset muscle weakness caused by the immune system damaging the peripheral nervous system. Oh yeah, doesn't seem like a problem at all. It sure does. It seems like it's related to the autoimmune disease due to possibly the spike protein being manufactured way too much and going into overload because you haven't tested to see whether, in the worst case, of the people who are of people whose bodies are able to follow the instructions the most and manufacture this the most, since you didn't build any limitation in it, what happens to those poor people who can manufacture this the most? Oh, they could die, and they have died. Because remember, the original concept was, don't worry, it'll stay up in the deltoid where we give it to you. That'll be just enough for your body to locally, create these proteins, and then eventually that will get back to the immune system's cataloging system, so it's ready when it really hits your body in any other way, something with that tiny signature. And yet we know that within hours, those spike proteins have gone through any number of your tissues in through your blood system. So they said it was going to stay at your deltoid, and it certainly did not. They lied, or due to the beta, they didn't know, and either one is inexcusable. So there we are, ladies and gentlemen, in October of 2020, no less than the FDA were told of these massive effects to people from taking this mRNA vaccine. An mRNA vaccine, the person that is responsible for the technology says is got to be careful with. And we aren't. We're just acting like we know everything about it. And I read earlier, there have been as many vaccine shots given as there are people on the planet almost. We're talking about 6.78 billion or so, 6.48 billion, I'm sorry, 7.68 or 7.48 billion shots have been given of something that, causes myocarditis and pericarditis. And we have approved this down to age 5 when nobody under 30 was dying of this unless they had massive co-conditions. So, yeah. If there was ever another, let all that be good information for you to know. But then also, the bigger picture is if we didn't know that the, quote, regulatory agencies were captured. Now we know they're captured, and they are not just captured for purposes of what are you going to let us do? What are you going to let us get away with? It is now... they are an affirmative tool for positive tyranny and forced sales, quote, sales, of their products. And so before it was like, well, the regulatory agencies were captured enough they could get away with bad stuff. But it wasn't necessarily, it was in some way, but not to anywhere near this extent, that the regulatory agencies and the experts would be the reason for all but compulsory usage of a product. And you just can't have a free market if you've got compulsory usage of a product. Not how free markets work. All right, that was a little long, but I think worthy of analysis. So thank you for listening, everybody. I am Tyson Harley. You can catch me here on the Scales of Truth. Often lately, these are the Quick Rants of Truth, but also regular Scales of Truth episodes, and of course over on Chemology 411.